Welcome to Fitz Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 WVUA. We are glad to start another season of the show. We're glad to be back here after a summer off of a little rest and relaxation and a lot of planning for this fall. A lot going on campus. At least at the Student Rec Center it is.
The same here at the health center as well, and it's kind of neat being back in the studio. I was worried I'd have cobwebs on my chair, but things are looking kind of fancy free in here, so it's good to see you, John.
Yeah, I know. It's like I talk to you in passing here and there, and it's like mm-hmm. we never really get a chance to sit down and talk until we have the radio show, and then it's all official.
I know.
We have to talk so formal. But hey, it's nice to catch up anyway.
Exactly.
Busy summer. Have you had a productive summer yourself?
I have had a productive summer. I'm a 12-month employee here at UA, so I still have students that utilize our nutrition services. But taking advantage with the summer, getting some 3-day weekend trips with my husband, and now that Labor Day is over, it's kind of been weird just to get back in the full swing of things. But it'll be nice to have some consistency to the fall. I will say that.
Yeah, you guys spend a lot of time at the beach. Every time I did talk to you this summer, you were on your way or coming back.
But you're so good about giving pizza recommendations at the beach, so it works out perfectly.
You want to know bad food, I can tell you where to find it.
Hey.
Bad for you food, very good food.
Well, I eat it, so that works out pretty good. How about y'all? Did y'all do anything good over the summer?
We didn't do anything big. Mm-hmm. I actually spent most of my summer writing a textbook, which sounds really boring, but it's like a baseball textbook, which is my passion, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's a class, I teach the class here on campus, and I've taught it for about 4 or 5 years and haven't really been able to find a textbook that I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I'll write my own, try to write that. And had just finished up writing a health ed textbook that you know about, and talked to our publisher about that. And I was like, would you guys publish it if I wrote a textbook? And it's been fun. I'm about the third to halfway through with it now, and I've got a long ways to go, but it's been fun.
Okay.
And challenging, but something that I could talk baseball all day long.
I know our listeners can't see him, but now I'm doing a little air bow at your awesomeness for writing textbooks. So, yeah.
It's not because of my ability to write.
Well,
I can assure you of that. What I have learned over the years, and you students can learn from this, is just write a lot. If you've got an editor, mm-hmm. they'll cut it out.
They'll fix it.
They'll fix it for you. That's really all it takes. It's just writing a lot.
Okay.
But,
Well, I know we're in a new semester, and we've had this show for a couple of seasons now, but you may be listening to us for the first time this afternoon. John, you want to tell some of our listeners what to expect from our program?
Yeah, I really like the format that we've been following the last couple of years, and we've had some really great guests over the years, and we have plans for great guests in the future. But really what our goal is to bring more knowledge about wellness. We like to bring in experts on different topics related to that wellness spectrum,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, intellectual, environmental, those types of things. And like I said, we've had great guests, and a lot of people don't think of some of the things that we've talked about as wellness topics.
Right.
But it really some of the things that we've talked about have been just so important, I think, to college students. And it's kind of, I think we've done a pretty good job of thinking outside of the box and trying to bring some attention to some ideas or to some issues that probably don't get addressed a lot in classes. Would you say?
I agree. And, I think as far as this afternoon goes and starting off this semester, of course, me as a dietitian, I'm super pumped that we'll be talking about nutrition in particular. We've got a great guest that's going to be helping us today, especially when it comes to nutrition on campus. But we've got a lot this afternoon, you guys. So I hope you stay in for the afternoon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone, and we will catch you after the break.
You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. And if you are just now catching us, we are starting our conversation this afternoon about nutrition. You know, I had to kind of put JJ in a headlock to get us to talk about nutrition because that is my passion area. But you're okay with us talking about nutrition today, aren't you?
I love you. I could listen to you talk all day long. You're one of the smartest people I know. And you're not a lot of people can hold my attention. Like, I have to, I say I have to listen to you talk a lot. I get the opportunity to listen to you talk a lot, and I could listen to you talk all day. I learned so much, and you know, I am the odd man out as an exercise physiologist sitting here with two foodies, I guess is the might be the right word, and as a person who has a very bland palate, but hey, I'll let you guys have at it.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. And, you know, when it comes to nutrition, I would say at the beginning of the semester with the types of patients that come into the office, you know, they're always thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, my mom said I got to avoid the freshman 15 or all of these dining halls are so overwhelming or my class schedule, I don't know how I'm ever going to eat. And so those are the types of things that I hear about oftentimes. And I know, John, you've had a daughter, you know, who's now a sophomore, right?
Correct, yes.
Do you feel like she had any difficulty transitioning to, you know, eating as a freshman when she came in last year?
You know, I can't say that she did, but she does. She, because we live in the radius, she lives at home.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't, I guess the big, what I see is one of the bigger transitions is that independence, and she hasn't had to, I guess, endure that.
Right, right.
But, you know, living at home. But I will say that she has become very independent in her eating. She loves to work out, and so mm-hmm. she's very I've never seen anybody as strict as she is and with willpower when
right.
it comes to diet. And she's done an excellent job with it, and just seeing the changes that she made it's been really neat and interesting. Her combining her fitness knowledge with the nutrition that she's learned.
That's awesome. That's yeah. awesome. I mean, I would say for me as a professional, specifically in the food realm, you know, there's always those students that are asking, how can I eat healthier? But I think what has complicated this, and we can talk about this with our special guest later on in the show, is that there is so much information that's out there, whether it's on the internet or TV, and there's just various interpretations of what is healthy. So oftentimes right. when I have students coming into the office, a majority of our time spent in the appointment is me kind of debunking some of the other messages that they've gotten. And the biggest thing that I really try to push for our students when it comes to healthy nutrition is that sometimes healthy eating for them is going to look different from their roommate or their 85-year-old grandmother or, you right. know, their mom that is, you know, has diabetes or whatever the case may be. So I think it's important for students to understand that, you know, nutrition goals are going to be individual. I have to acknowledge that it can be overwhelming with the amount of information that's out there. Sometimes the vast variety of choices that students have, you know, we want to cater to everyone's variety, but that can be overwhelming for people too. So right. I think to me, you know, if I were to give someone, you know, a quick and dirty of some great information to have when it comes to getting better nutrition is scheduling those meals and snacks at the same priority level that you would going to class or going to a student organization meeting so that you're not in a situation where your eating goes on the back burner. And I mean, I'm sure you probably feel that same way about exercise, you
right.
know, people kind of scheduling it that way too. So
right. And another similarity that I see as you were saying that, it made me think, and I'm not sure if you see it the same way, but with fitness and stuff and exercise programs that you see that are the hot thing, you know, mm-hmm. Of the day, it's almost like it comes in cycles and, you know, things that we're doing right now were popular 12 to 15 years ago
right.
With just a little bit more technology mm-hmm. added. And we go through these cycles. Would you say this from a layperson's perspective? I would say that about nutrition. I'm asking this as a question. You know, it's either going to be a low carb, a low fat, or, you know,
right, or some reiteration of that, yeah.
Right. So you basically see kind of see that in waves.
I do. You know, I think when it came to low carb, you know, back in the 90s, you heard it called Atkins. You know, now it might be labeled as paleo. So, yeah, it's almost like reiterations of some of the same things over and over again. And I had been preparing for a nutrition presentation earlier this week. And, you know, we talk about how much money that that's in the nutrition and fitness and wellness industry. And it used to be $1 billion industry, but my recent research, it said that it's actually gotten into the a trillion dollar industry worldwide. And so I think when students can understand just how big that is, that can make them a more savvy consumer when it comes to health messages, whether it's nutrition related or exercise, and kind of being a critical consumer of the types of information that's out there, and hopefully gives them better encouragement to go to a specific professional for individualized information versus, right. Oh, hey, roommate, tell me, right. You know, what's working for you and your cousin, and just having a little bit more formalized information there.
Right. Well, would you say that now more than ever that with all the, it seems like one of the trends that I've seen on TV is a lot of prepackaged meals, you know, that you can have. Would you say that makes things, you know, just so much easier for people to eat healthy?
I think so. You know, I typically don't have a problem with people using certain levels of convenience foods, just because I know that that's kind of just the nature of our society now, you know, grab and go things. So I think that over the years, those grab and go options have become healthier, where it's not that traditional frozen TV meal, but there's some, right, you know, things that have, you know, less preservatives or whatever else. So I try to give students that balance of knowing that using those convenience foods are great, but giving them that education where if they needed to be left to their own devices to put a meal together on their own, they have a good concept of nutrition in general to know how to put together a meal that's going to meet all of their health needs.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. Personal question. I've seen your schedule, and I know how busy you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start very early in the day, and sometimes, you know, you guys are doing programs until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at
right,
night.
Right, right.
Okay, what does Sheena's day look like when it comes to, you know, well, from 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon on, you have to be prepared to eat dinner and or a snack.
Right.
What does that look like for you?
So, you know, I think a lot of times it does depend so much on my schedule. I am a big fan of having a contingency plan. So if worse comes to worse and I can't make it home for supper, I've got to make sure that I have some kind of backup nutrition that's in my purse or in our work fridge. My intern Hannah is in the studio today, and she can attest that we just came earlier on from some presentations this week where I was really busy and was just drinking a protein shake on the fly. That's not my nutrition of choice, but I'd rather have that than my tummy grumbling you know, a presentation. So I think it's really knowing that if the only thing that you can bank about your schedule is that you can't bank on it, I really thrive on having some background or some backup snacks, like a protein bar or granola bar, or having some fruit in the office, because sometimes my schedule isn't picture perfect where I can, you know, cook that 5-course dinner for my husband. So a lot of it is convenience foods, but I'm strategic with the type of convenience products that they are.
So when you get home at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, then do you go ahead, if you haven't had a snack or anything, do you go ahead and cook a full meal for yourself, or?
I typically do not. And that's only because I'm probably going to bed pretty soon after. If I were to be staying up later, then I probably would have something a little bit more substantial. So earlier on in the evening, I kind of make the executive decision. Am I going to continue to just nibble on some snacky type things, or am I going to, you know, eventually get to cook something once I get home late at night? So, yeah.
Listen up, people. She knows what she's talking about. She is the expert in it, and you're getting it for free.
And they can
also come see you, too, as well.
That's right.
But anyway, we'll get ready to get going here with a great guest. We'll keep you waiting just a few more minutes to find out who that is. But we're going to have to take a quick break right now. But stay with us. We have more to come with today's special guest, who you'll find out about shortly. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Well, Welcome back to Fitz Big Tie with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we want to thank you once again for spending part of your Sunday afternoon with us here talking about nutrition and how it relates to your overall wellness. And Sheena, great guest. Thanks to you bringing her on today. So if I'll give you the honors of introducing her, if you'd like.
Of course. So we have the fabulous LaShayna Sorrell from Bama Dining. And I'm kind of feeling this LaShayna and Sheena and John. But, you know, it rolled off the tongue really well. But LaShayna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, tell us a little bit about your role. I understand that you're the marketing director for Bama Dining. So tell us a little bit about how all you function in that capacity.
Well, as marketing director, my main responsibility is to communicate to the students and faculty and staff and the rest of the University of Alabama community here on campus. So I am primarily responsible for planning special events in any of our dining halls, communicating any information, whether it's regarding a meal plan or just facts in general about how to eat on campus. I've been here for a few years and looking at partnerships in the campus area and just continue to just educate students on how to eat on campus.
Awesome.
I can tell you, I mean, you guys do, and this is random, but Bama Dining is good. You guys have catered some stuff for us recently, and we have had some really good meals, and we've had some really, and I say that to say that we've had some really healthy choices along with it. It's not, you know, just all bad food. I'm not saying that I ate those healthy choices myself, but I saw other people eating those healthy choices. But, you know, seeing you guys have like so many different dining halls on campus, you know, all over the place. One of the things, you know, Sheena and I just did an article that was in AL.com this past week on the Freshman 15, which, we'll talk about in just a little bit. But, you know, there's that whole misconception that, you know, you can't live on campus and eat healthy. We know that to not be the case. But, I mean, tell us what you guys specifically do to try to, you know, avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have several options. One, eating on campus is a little bit different than when I was back in school. We have currently four dining halls on campus, which is amazing to be able to have those options.
Right.
We have, they're strategically placed on campus to try to reach out to students based on where they're living and how they commute. And they all have a different identity and function. So even though they're all you care to eat, they all have like a different dynamic that makes them special and unique. And so I enjoy definitely hitting all of them up during the course of my week and just at having those favorites. So some of the things that we do a lot of things. Well, everything is amazingly from scratch. So we actually do our pizza dough from scratch. We make it fresh every morning. We have a full service bakery that bakes homemade cookies and cupcakes and pies and different things like that. We have a pasta machine where we can make homemade pasta, pizza sauce. I mean, we do so many different things, and people are amazed at all the things that we do. We have great culinary staff and people who work really hard. They're here at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, getting everything, biscuits baked and ready for us when we get here at 8 and 9 o'clock. So definitely we have options. We always have healthy options at every location. We have specialized for vegan and vegetarians as well. I know a lot of times we meet a lot of students who are, they have questions about, oh, well, I'm a vegan or a vegetarian. I have this dietary restriction. So we definitely make sure that we accommodate to those students. And even though, like, I'm not a vegetarian myself, I enjoy those meals. We have a hummus station, for example, at Lakeside, and we make hummus from scratch every single day. And it's three different types usually, and you have your veggies and you have your pita chips. So you can have the best of both worlds there. We have salad bar that you can create and customize your own salad bar there. We have two types of soup at most of our dining halls, where if you want a veggie-based soup or some things like that. So we definitely have a host of options. And then if you want that home style, like I had meatloaf and potatoes yesterday, or today maybe fried fish. So you have your options. Whether if you want to eat on the healthier side, we have that. But if you want to indulge a little bit, like I like our homemade chicken, breaded chicken tenders and fries sometimes on occasion, and I mix it with my hummus. So, great combination.
Well, I love just everything that you shared about that, because there was so much food variety, and I think that's a clear example of, you know, oftentimes students focus so much on like, oh my goodness, like the dining hall has like pizza and burgers and like the home style stuff, that that seems to be what they focus on, and they don't realize the salad bar is banging. You know, like, there are some awesome, like, healthy choices that are there, but I think sometimes people just like to generalize, oh, the dining hall is unhealthy just because they're not seeing, you know, vegan stations at every single, you know, at every single station. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I love the fact that you've had the platform for sharing all of the different things that are there. And I know in one of the previous segments, you know, I'd been telling John that I will utilize a lot of convenience type items or grab and go. And it seems like over the years that those grab and go options with Bama Dining, especially at the Ferguson Center and the other C-store locations, have really evolved. Can you speak to, you know, how that has kind of grown over the years as far as the types of grab and go options that you wanted to offer students based on student feedback?
Yeah, oh, most definitely. I think with students communicating to us what they are wanting right now, it makes it easier for us to make sure we can provide it. Mm-hmm. Last year, we made the decision to go into and start having lifestyle products, which the great thing about the lifestyle products in the grab-and-go area is that they're all under 500 calories, so it's really great options. They have snacks, so you could do a really cool snack with apples and maybe an egg, a hard-boiled egg, and peanut butter and different things that are in those. Also, sandwiches and wraps and salads. So it just gives you some different options for a student. Also, we have sushi that's available, which is definitely one of our best sellers. The students love the sushi there. It's made fresh. We have someone here on campus all the time making the sushi for our students here. In addition, we bring in special products that we know of that are maybe new or innovative or anything that we think that the students may enjoy.
Right. Sheena, I know you have like really intelligent questions to ask. Mine are on a lot more base level. But how far in advance do you guys plan, you know, for the meals? I mean, do you guys work, you know, just a couple of weeks out, a month out, a semester out in terms of, you know, what the plans are for the meals?
Well, typically we work a semester out. We're here all year as well. And so our managers are here and they're brainstorming menus. We're looking at menus. We actually have a 4-week menu cycle. And so we're able to decide what menu items we would like to have. And then once the semester starts and we start publishing those menus and items, we make adjustments based on the student feedback. So if there was an item, for example, that we wanted to try and students gave us feedback that, it was not their favorite recipe or they wanted to see something different, we can go in and we can still make those adjustments if necessary.
So how do y'all elicit that feedback? I do assessment for the rec center, and that part is interesting to me. It's easy for me to do that kind of thing, but how do you do it with food?
We have great customer service platform. It's called Voice of Consumer Program. Mm-hmm. And so someone can go online or on their phone or anything, and they can just give us that feedback and provide it to us.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, you know, thinking about the resources that you guys have available to the students, I know we've just got a couple more minutes left in this particular segment, but I noticed that students can look up the nutrition information on the different entrees ahead of time. Have y'all been able to capture how frequently that's used just as far as like hits to those particular web pages for the particular nutrition facts and menus for the dining halls?
I think that as far as with the download with the app, we cannot track that part. Mm-hmm. But we can tell you that based on our web analytics, that is probably one of the most frequently visited pages, is to look at the menu and also looking. And on our menu, we actually have now the caloric information, mm-hmm. and those identifying factors that students are interested in. And so we know that they want that information. We now have nutritional cards that are available at every single station, at every single item. So I've seen students taking pictures of the card so they can go back and track it in Fitness Pal, where we have our menus integrated, or they may be jotting them down and those types of things.
Yeah, no, well, thank you for mentioning that. I didn't realize until last year about the integration with your menu options and the MyFitnessPal app. So that's been a huge game changer for a lot of my clients. But, oh my gosh, LaShana, you guys have so much to offer. We're going to keep you on for another segment if you are okay with that.
Most definitely.
It is time for a break, you guys. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John, and we'll catch you right after the break.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 to Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. We're back with our special guest this afternoon, LaShana Sorrell, who's the marketing director for Bama Dining. And LaShana, thanks again for being here with us. Already gotten some really good information from you. But I want a question that I have, and this deals with my family. I would say I had food allergies, but I don't eat enough different foods to be allergic to anything. When it comes to, if someone has a food allergy or some special dietary need, how does that process work? Who do they come to? Who do they approach? How does that whole thing work?
Well, the great thing is that we have a great staff that's here. Holly Groff is our registered dietitian for Bama Dining, and she does an excellent job communicating with the students. So students can contact us either online or they can come by the office. And what we do is once they're registered with us, we can figure out what can we do to specialize and customize their program for them. In addition, we talked earlier segment about some of the things that are always available every day to everyone, but we know that some students have severe allergies and other things, so we do some detailed, some special menu requests. We have a manager text program where students text our managers while they're en route to the dining hall so we can prepare some of those items. So for any student that may have a gluten intolerance or some other type of special dietary need, we have separate equipment, we have separate products, anything to be able to make sure that we can meet that need.
That's really cool. I mean, you think about it, this being such a large university. I don't know if the numbers have come out, our enrollment numbers for the semester, but we keep growing and growing, and you think such a big university. But, I know I'm getting off topic here, but, my daughter coming in, last year as a freshman, I had never been through that process before, mm-hmm. and I felt like we were at a small school, the level of treatment that we got.
Right, right.
It was, everybody was so accommodating. People showed me around the Ferg, which I get to every day. But it was awesome. I mean, it was really nice. Everybody was so good. And this is just another example of that. I mean, the level of individualism that you guys provide is amazing.
Oh, gosh. And I'll even say just having worked with some of those students that have contacted you guys directly and are a part of that accommodation program, when parents come and they'll meet me or the student will come and meet me, they'll often say that they chose our university based on how much they knew they were going to get those accommodations, because food allergies can be such a scary thing for a lot of families. So to know just the level of detail that our staff is providing. And of course, we've had Holly on the show before, and I call her like food allergy queen bee. Just she's always educating me on those things. So it's been nice to just know how we've been able to accommodate those students. Even again, looking at your website, because I just like to, take a look at, what all of our guests have to offer. I noticed something, this Crimson Kitchen Cooking Class series. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How long that's been going on? Is that something that you guys see as a, sustainable program that you'd like to continue to offer?
Oh, yes. Well, our Crimson Kitchen Cooking Classes, we started those last fall, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great opportunity. Our chefs are awesome. They have great culinary experience and they went to school, and it's just really great. And it's an opportunity for them to have fun. Mm-hmm. So now they're in the kitchen. They can create menus. We do them. It's specialized. So there could be an Italian cooking class. My favorite class is the mother sauces class that we offer. And it's where we go back to the five mother sauces that create all sauces that we eat today. And for me, it's almost like an educational class, because it's understanding the history behind a hollandaise sauce versus a bechamel, and how do you use those things in every day. So it's really enlightening. And so what we offer a few classes a semester. It's open to the public. And so we always try to get that information out so that people, students, faculty, staff, even community members can come on campus and enjoy those classes.
That's great. That really is.
Yeah, maybe we can take a cooking class together.
Radio
excursion.
Right. I will tell you, do not eat all day, because we eat together. We have recipe cards, but it is so much food. It is just a wonderful time. The camaraderie is just really great to just meet people, a small group, and it's just fun.
Okay. Well,
you guys have such a strong, such a strong emphasis on education, too. What are some, you guys have some other programs, too, that are similar or educational type programs?
Yeah, we do several programs. We have internship programs. We have community groups. We're always available to go to places and present and talk about how you can eat healthy on campus. We participate and partner in wellness fairs, and next week we're going to be at the student health fair and out on the quad. And so it's just really to get out there and to educate people, I think, is the most important thing. Once people have that education, then they can make that decision.
Can you tell us a little bit about donating meal swipes? I learned about this, I guess it was just this past spring, and I think it's such a wonderful thing that's offered. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, so we actually have a couple of different programs with our Share Swipes. So one, our Got Meals program, it allows students with an existing meal plan to donate a meal that is created in a like a food bank for students that are in need. And so students are in need of meals. They can go to a department and they can request those meals. So now they will be able to eat on campus and be able to have a sustainable meal. So it's a really great program. It's been going on for years. Actually, next week, we're partnering with the Student Government Association. It's Share a Swipe Week. So we'll have tables set up and people can come by and share a swipe so that we can get those meals for our program. So
that's
really
awesome.
And that'll be in the, will that be in the Fargo or is that on the quad?
We have several spots located all over campus throughout the day. Some are in the dining hall. One day is actually in the Ferg. So several different things there.
That's awesome. And, you know, I mean, I'm not a student anymore. John might be. Are you getting anything beyond your doctorate that you have now?
I will never take another class ever again.
So considering that John and I may probably never be students again, we do understand, though, that there are, as far as meal plans go, you have faculty staff that will purchase meal plans, and there are some that are catered specific to that population. Is that right?
Yes, we do. We actually have a separate meal plan program that are designed for our faculty and staff members, which means that they're smaller blocks, it's easier, smaller amounts, you know. So it's easier for you as a faculty and staff member to have that added to your action card. So now you don't have to worry about even bringing a wallet on campus. So it's a really great opportunity for you to look at some of those options. Eating at the dining hall is really great. A lot of our faculty and staff members have taken their meals to go. So if you can't eat in the dining hall, get it to go and take it back to the office. So it's really great.
Okay, if I get it to go, so I used to be all about some Burke soft serve. Could I walk out with my ice cream?
Yes, you can, because I do that every time I go.
Okay, just make it, you know, because you're talking about each dining hall having some signature things. I feel like soft serve at Burke. Have you had that, John?
I haven't.
If you like some soft serve ice cream, man, there's some nostalgia from my undergrad days.
Yes, I will I never leave Burke without getting my soft serve cone of ice cream. And
bucket
I mean,
list.
Yeah, it is. And then the second thing, while we're talking about things you have to do and you have to try, if you go to Lakeside this semester, we added the teppanyaki grill or teppanyaki station. So it's a vegetarian, it's all veggies and different vegetables. We have some superfoods that are out there, and you build your own bowl, whether it's rice or noodle bowl, or you can even do a fun noodle bowl station and do some broth over it. And we have someone that cooks it for you right there, and you can go. It's phenomenal.
John, those are all your favorite foods.
I was going to say, you can answer that question for me right there.
But no, we have tons of listeners that are going to love that. So whether it's the teppanyaki station or the Burke soft serve, you guys have got it going on, and we appreciate it. We figure you guys have a great social media and web presence if students need some additional information. Is that right?
Yes, we're available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, you can always email us if you would like, and just really communicate us. We always love new ideas and just to hear from you all to see what can we do different. That's what it's about. It's about evolving and making sure that we can make you happy.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, LaShana, oh my goodness, thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon to come and talk to old John and I about delicious food on campus. I didn't mean it like in an old way, just term of like friendly endearment, you know. But you guys, we are about to wrap things up this afternoon. We've got one more segment, but again, LaShana, thank you so much. But you guys, catch us after the break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. You're listening to Sheena and John, and we have just finished a good conversation on nutrition and eating healthy on campus.
That's
and,
right.
Along with that, kind of along those same lines, last few minutes we have here, Sheena, one of the things that always comes out is, you know, the freshman 15, and you and I both just had an article come out mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were a part of it. I don't know that you thought I was a part of it either. And we both ended up in the same article. It sounds like I had done my research on it. You had done your research on it. And it was almost like we had pretty much the same answers.
Right.
But so the research is pretty, seems like, it's pretty consistent now mm-hmm. on what the freshman 15 actually is. You from your perspective, I mean, I know this is right up your alley. You want to share about kind of what the trend looks like with
sure.
that?
Sure. And, you know, and it's funny because I just remember it was a couple of months ago whenever you had emailed me some of the most recent research where this freshman 15, it's not actually 15 pounds. And remind me, what was that number? Because it was less than 5, wasn't it? The average student typically gains.
Yeah, I think around probably 5 or 6 years ago, the average weight gain for freshmen was 6 or 7 pounds mm-hmm. At the time. And it has, you know, trended down since then, obviously.
Right.
Down to where we want it to go. That's one thing I wanted to ask your opinion on. Just as an FYI for people out there, it has trended down from year to year. Mm-hmm. But we're at a point now where we either have to go back up or we're going to get it where freshmen are not gaining any weight at all overall.
Right.
What would you, what I mean by that is that the average weight gain, for freshmen, the last time the numbers were done was just about a pound and a half, mm-hmm. which is awesome. What would you attribute that trend to?
You know, I think a lot of that is just a combination of students continuing to be even more savvy about their food choices and just having even more built-in physical activity that's happening
right.
that's going to counter that. Because I think, you know, sometimes and especially, too, with the size of campuses now, it allows for there to be more natural physical activity in their walking.
Right.
You know, maybe students are a little bit more cognizant of what they're eating as far as the education they receive, even at the high school level with, you know, health classes and the type of information that's on the internet. You know, sure, there's a lot of misinformation there, but it's certainly been great for students to be even more savvy, especially if there are certain health conditions that run in their family, like diabetes or heart disease. So I've seen a lot of students that have wanted to be more proactive
right.
with their health and their nutrition, and maybe that's just attributed to that trend in the decline of pounds that people gain. And I guess we still like to use freshman 15 because it rolls off the tongue really easily.
It is really neat the way, you know, it's been a focus on that, mm-hmm. You know, the last decade, you know, with the healthy campus, healthy people 2010 objectives, and then the healthy people 2020,
right.
healthy campus 2020 objectives. And it's really neat to see how effective that's been. I would like to see, and I don't know if there are numbers that are out there, but just our campus going from going from a commuter campus to a campus where you know everybody walks all
right,
the time
right.
now, and I would like to see if our numbers are actually lower than that, because I think, you know, we probably trended a lot lower based on that. I just think physical activity is increasing.
I do too. Yeah. So if we can think of a creative way to capture that information for our campus, that would be fantastic. You know,
yeah.
I know a lot of times our campus is, you know, featured in different articles where they talk about UA being very healthy with just the number of physical activity opportunities,
right.
you know, compared to nutrition opportunities and everything else. So we've got some great stuff going on for
yeah,
sure.
Great research ideas mm-hmm. for those of you out there that are into that.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's good to see you again.
Yeah,
this has been great.
It's been a great start.
Well, you guys, you know, look forward to this semester listening to us. We will be talking about a ton of different health topics, but we are at the end of our afternoon. You guys have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Catstone, and we'll catch you next time.